Welcome to Miracles of God with Pastors Joel and Annalisa Jones. You know, the truth about the pandemic is the Lord used that time to expose the true condition of man's heart. Let's listen in as Pastor Joel concludes the teaching series, What's in Your Heart? What's on Your Heart? We pray that we all, like King David, can cry out, I have made my heart clean. I am pure from my sin. Amen. Be washed by the word today.
Remember last week we talked about the meditation of our hearts and how important it is to have them aligned with God and acceptable, to be acceptable in His sight. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Your sight, O Lord, my strength, my Redeemer. That's in Psalm 19:14, right? So, okay, we see the importance of knowing how our hearts function spiritually aside from being aligned with God. Our hearts don't function well when we're not aligned with God. See, what the Word says or tells us, we have to see what the Word tells us and what it shows us about becoming lined up with God. Now I'm going to ask Pastor Annalisa to take us to this, and let's go to Hebrews for a minute. You all going to like this one because you all know this one. You all speak this to me all the time. Sister Karen is always quoting this one.
Yeah.
Other people. Hebrews 4 verses 12 to 13.
Hebrews 4 now verses 12 to 13 tells us, for the word of God is living and powerful.
Yes, it is.
And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account.
Amen. All right, thank you, Pastor. All right, this scripture is very popular, of course. It speaks about what? What's it talking about?
The heart.
The heart, yes, but the Word of God, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, the Word of God is living and powerful. I believe we all know that. But what I want you to focus on in this text right here today, is what it tells us in the second half of verse 12. That's what I want you to zero in on, the second half of verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even through the division of soul and spirit and of joint and marrow. Here's the second part. And it is a what? Discerner of the thoughts and the intents of what?
Of the heart.
Of the heart. If you want a heart turned to God, you got to get in the word.
Amen.
You see what I mean? You got to get in the word.
Yes.
You can't just memorize the word. You can't just guess on the word. You got to meditate on the word. Okay? The word is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So then the Bible is not just a collection of stories or words. This word right here, okay? This word is a living, breathing, life-altering dynamic. It's a force easily capable of changing you. It's easily capable of recognizing and perceiving and, yes, apprehending your thoughts, the thoughts and the intents of your heart.
Yes.
That
word.
Is what this is.
The word.
Now, I want you to know that that's what that means, okay? And we need to look at it. We can't just glance over scripture. We've got to learn what it is, okay?
Yes.
That's how important the word of God is. If you truly believe in it, the word of God is living.
Living.
Breathing. It's
powerful.
It discerns. It has discernment of what's going on in your head and what's going on in your heart. That's what it's saying right here. And let's face it, oftentimes we as people, even church people, we have our own thoughts and our own opinions, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We have our own thoughts. We have thoughts about ourselves and thoughts about others, don't we? Mm-hmm. And you know, sometimes it just doesn't line up with the Word of God. But we don't care. Those are our thoughts, aren't they? And so the word is telling us, stick to the word, okay? The thoughts and the intents of your heart, good or bad, right or wrong. That old heart will have you thinking all wrong. That old heart will have you thinking you're all that and nobody else. That old heart will have you lead you astray because what you're doing and what you're saying will be contrary to the word of God. That's why we have to learn it, okay? So then, if that's the case, it stands to reason that in order for us to overcome the sinful activity related to our hearts, we need to get in this word.
Amen, amen.
Don't just get in the word, get in the word deep.
Deep.
You got to get deep in this word.
Yes.
You're going to need to discern this word. You're going to need to know how to navigate through the waters of adversity, and this word will get you through. Your own heart is going to take you into deep water.
Yeah.
The devil's going to lure you. You saw what he tried to do to Jesus himself. He tried to lure him out there into the wilderness. He did lure him. He did put him in the wilderness. He did get him in the wilderness. The Holy Spirit led him right there to the point so that he could be tested.
Yes.
And some of you are being tested right now on some things.
Yes.
But I don't know. We got to get in this word, you all. You got to know your heart. You got to know when your heart's leading you the wrong way.
Yes, once you're in the wilderness.
We need to get in the word. Deep, deep, deep in the word. Where we can just not just read it, but meditate on it.
Yes.
No, not just meditate on it, but practice doing what it says.
Yes.
You got to get that word in you. It's got to be in you. You got to get it in you. And that's what we're talking about.
Hallelujah.
That's how we get in position to have our hearts made over.
Thank you, Father.
Made over, okay? We call it a spiritual makeover if you want to, but that's what we need.
Thank you, Lord.
I know since this COVID-19, I don't see many people going to get nips and tucks. But we need to be nipped and tucked by God, I'll tell you that. We need to be shaped up by God. We either got to shape up or you're going to be shipped out because the time is coming. We got to let the Lord shape us up. We got to let him get in there and get inside our ticket. You got to let him get under your hood and start working on things in that engine. Amen?
Amen.
But how many know that we cannot do it on our own? Much as you want to, you're no match for your old deceitful heart.
Thank you.
No match for it. That's right. In our own skin and our own strength, man, we are just toast. Nothing we can do about it. But thank God that he knows us better than we could ever know ourselves. That's a good thing about the Lord. He's got this all under control. That's why God sends help. Okay? That's why he sends help. And who is the help that God sent us?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. Pastor got that one. The Holy Spirit. She knows that stuff. But the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's the helper. That's Jesus, amen? Jesus is speaking of the Holy Spirit. I think it's in John chapter 14. Let's go there for a minute, Pastor. Can you take us to John 14, verses 15 to 17? Let me get there. She's moving so fast, I can't hardly get to my
John 14, scripture. 15, and 17.
John chapter 14.
And the Lord tells us in John 14,
verses 15 through 17,
if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it never sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you.
And read that last one you mentioned.
And then he says, I will not leave you, hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
I will not leave you, orphans. I will come to you. And didn't he do it?
Amen.
Didn't he do
yes,
it?
He
Thank
did.
You, Lord.
Yes,
Thank
he
you.
Did. He came to us and I didn't even know him.
Thank
no.
you, Lord.
Wasn't
Thank
looking you. For him, but he knew I was lost. And he came to me. I owe Jesus everything. I owe him
Hallelujah.
My life. I owe him my children. I owe Jesus
everything. All belongs
okay?
to him.
I don't own anything. So thank you, Pastor. Now we see from these verses why we are able to achieve victory when it comes to the issues of our heart. It's because of the helper that Jesus sends our way. Do you
Amen.
See that?
Yes.
He's not going to let you try this on your own. He knows you're no match for the devil. You're no match on your own for a deceitful heart. The Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, they are one and the same. You understand that? The Spirit of truth. We receive power. Amen. That's what Jesus says in Acts 1:8. Remember that?
You will receive
power. That's the Holy Spirit. You shall receive power,
yes,
when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, just as he says. Okay? When he says you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you need to know that the power that you receive from the Holy Spirit, is it natural power? No, it's supernatural power, isn't it?
Supernatural
power. Dunamis power from on high. That's what he's talking about. You will receive that kind of power, which can cause, now, when you got supernatural power, it can cause you to conduct yourselves according to God. You see how that works? Supernatural power can give you the fruits of the Spirit, huh? That we talk about in Galatians 5:20-22 on, love, peace, joy, kindness, goodness, gentleness, long-suffering, faithfulness, self-control, all those things. You get all that and then some when you have the Holy Spirit. That's supernaturally that you can sit down and be more patient. You can sit down and be more loving. You can sit down and have peace. Okay, and you can be joyful even in the midst of the storm because of that supernatural power that the Holy Spirit gives you. You can rebuke demons. Yes, you can. You can even drink poison and it won't harm you in some cases, depending, but you won't tempt the Lord your God. It's saying that this is how you, if it can do all that, it can steal your heart. Steal, not S-T-E-A-L, the thief comes to steal. I'm saying it can steal your heart. Be still, my foolish heart.
Yes.
Be still and let the Lord work on you. Be still, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint, as the Bible tells us in Isaiah 28:41. But it's saying right here that these things, the supernatural work comes from the Holy Spirit of God to work on your heart so your heart can be changed. That's what I'm trying to say. So then you might ask, why, Pastor Joel, are there so many Christians behaving as they are... why are so many Christians behaving more like they're powerless than powerful?
Good question.
That's a good question. Well, first of all, not everyone who claims to be a Christian is a Christian. I'm sorry to tell you that, but don't believe everything you hear. Okay? Everybody that says they're a Christian is not a Christian.
You know them by their fruit.
Say it again, Pastor.
I said you'll know them by their fruit.
Thank you. Thank you. I don't care how often or how long a person sits in a church building, that doesn't make him a Christian. He may be coming just because his wife told him to. She might be coming just to get out the house. Just want to escape from the children. Okay? Just because you sit in a church don't make you a Christian any more than sitting in your garage makes you an automobile. Okay? Or sitting in the movie theater won't make you an actor. Okay? In other words, you got, along that line, some folks are acting like they're Christians, though. So what you got to do is allow the Holy Spirit to move in you. You got to digest this word. Jesus says in Matthew 7:21, read that one, Pastor. You all know this one. Matthew 7:21-23. I'm not trying to give you the whole Bible. You read that Bible at home and learn it. But the messages and the scriptures the Lord are giving us right here should bring us right back to where we need to be.
Matthew 7:21-23 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven."
Amen.
"Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, mm-hmm. and done many wonders in your name?'" This is Jesus speaking. "And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'"
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you so much. I appreciate the help. That's what he's talking about. This is Jesus saying this, you all. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven except he who does the will of my Father in heaven." He's saying that day many are going to come. Saying they prophesied in his name, cast out demons in his name, done wonders in his name, sang in the choir in his name, preached in pulpits in his name.
In his name.
Uh-huh. Was a prayer warrior in his name. What else? Ushered in his name. Greeted in his name. ate at the banquet table in his name, served in the potluck party in his name. Don't mean a thing, okay? If you're not doing the will of God, if you're not submitting to God and have your heart turned to God, see what I'm talking about? That's what I mean when I say you can't just, you know, you can come to church all you want to, but I'm telling you what, the Lord is looking in our hearts. Do you see that? We got some tongue-speaking folks in church, huh? We got some people that speak in tongues, and maybe, but I'm telling you, the Lord is looking in our hearts. We got some Christian acting people in church, but the Lord is looking for people, looking in our hearts, yes, to whom he's going. And if he sees that deceit, yes, if he sees that stuff in your heart, yes, your beautiful voice, your tongue speaking self, your demon casting out, party pooping self, whatever the case may be. I mean, party pooper, that's a term. I don't mean it, nothing harsh about it. But back to my point, those things, Jesus is going to say, depart from me, those of you who practice lawlessness, now get.
That's what he's gonna say.
That's paraphrased. That get, G-I-T, was paraphrased. But I'm telling you, that's what this word
is. Holy God is gonna say.
Depart from me, you yes, workers of iniquity.
I never knew you.
I'll say it again, church. You can't fool God. We can't fool God. But we can be fooled by our very own hearts if we're not careful. Absolutely. Especially if we don't turn our hearts over to God. Turn them over to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Again, now, look at how this pandemic is exposing the hearts of people, especially when it comes to the church. You know, I'm always interested in what's happening in our church. What are our leaders doing? How do we feel about this? Look at what's happening. This pandemic is exposing the hearts of the church, as well the leaders, as well as the congregants. Okay, men and women of God. Turn on the news, and you're gonna see many so-called church leaders ready to march back into a physical church building at the risk of congregants dying. Okay. Marching into that building at the risk of people dying and ready to defy authority. Where is it in the Bible? Well, they'll use the scripture. 9 times out of 10, Hebrews 10:25. Do not forsake the assembling of the saints, okay? But I will tell you one thing. We can all pick a scripture. Maybe come up with a game show called Pick a Scripture. And pick a scripture. And just pick a scripture and live your whole life by that one scripture. Or pick a scripture out of context and use it. Call it pick a scripture. Maybe that's a way to get people interested in the word. But it doesn't work when it comes to God's discerning eye. All right? To defy authority and saying you're do not forsake the assembling of the saints with a little heart monitoring before they march into that building. They just might see that God has allowed this pandemic to march them out of that very same building. God allowed the pandemic to march you out of the building so you can get the building together in you. That's what God is doing. God wanted to get you out of the four walls of the physical church so he could get his church in order in you.
Yes.
Because if you don't know it, we are the church.
Them.
Regardless of which building we're in. Regardless of if we never assemble in a four-wall church again. Yes, he wants us to assemble. Yes, he wants the assembling of the saints. But in times where people are dying and lives are being taken, what about the second greatest commandment is to love my neighbor as I love myself? Should I risk somebody's life when the government of all people are saying, we don't want you to die? And we're saying, no, it's my job to die. I'm going to defy the government. Does that make sense? See, God says, let us reason. Come, let us reason together. Haven't I given you discernment? I believe sometimes we take the Holy Spirit and we put him on a shelf and we forget you need to have the Holy Spirit in your hip pocket at all times. If not just for, but just for reason, so that you can reason. We need to see what's going on here. Marching into that very same building in order to truly be assembled spiritually on the inside first, so as to properly represent God once we do get back into the four walls of the physical church. We have to get the church together that's in us before we talking about going into a church building outside of us. Come on now.
Amen.
Come on now. I hope you all understand that point. All right. I'm going to get ready to close here. In closing, I have two scriptures to leave you with. One is found in Psalm 26:2, in which the psalmist says, "Prove me, Lord, and try me. Test my heart and my mind." The other one is in Acts 8:22, which says, "Repent, therefore, of this wickedness of yours and pray the Lord that, if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven you." All right? Now, in closing, this is what I want to ask you. Which of those texts do you believe or do you suppose applies to you more? Which one? The one that says, "Prove me, Lord, try me, test my heart and test my mind." Or the one that telling you to repent of this wickedness of yours and pray the Lord that if possible, if the Lord gives you the grace, the intent of your heart may be forgiven you. All right? Think those over. Which text do you suppose applies more to you at this present time? All right. The sooner we recognize and embrace it, which one? The one that the Lord has given you in your heart, the sooner we'll be able to answer the questions which have been posed in the very title of this sermon series. What's in your heart? And what's on your heart? Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And to those of you who are watching, those of you who will hear this sermon down the road, this sermon series, I pray you know Jesus. If you don't know him now, I pray that you'll come to him, because you need to know Jesus. It's so important that we come into a right standing relationship with Jesus Christ. We are at the crossroads. There's not much time left, and we see these things happening in the world. The Lord is showing us something. We keep saying we want things to get back to normal. Things have never been normal. Not since Adam and Eve crossed God. Things have been abnormal. So with that, we don't know what we're going to get back to. But we do know that we need to get with Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus, I'd like to lead you to him. The Bible tells us, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that he died for you and was raised from the dead, that you'll be saved. That's all it takes, is action on your part, direct action, to believe in your heart unto righteousness and make confession with your mouth unto salvation toward Jesus Christ. Would you do that today?
Amen. The book of Joel says, "Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm." This is Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones, sponsored by Spirit of Truth Church Worldwide in Fairfield, California. Thank you for choosing to fellowship with us today. To listen to today's message and previous broadcasts, go to SpiritOfTruthChurchWorldwide.com. And while you're there, Connect and follow us on Facebook and YouTube. And if you've been blessed by today's message, please let us know. Submit your comments, testimony, and prayer requests on our contact page at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. We appreciate your partnership and financial support. Financial donations are tax deductible and accepted on our secure website. Giving is easy. Simply click on the donate button. Join us for our weekly Sunday worship service at 1 p.m. and walk through the Bible with us live on Facebook, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. In need of prayer or encouragement? We're here for you. Call us at 707-759-5244. Thanks again for tuning in to Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones. Don't forget to tune in next week for another powerful message from Pastor Joel. Until next time. God is good.